Good morning. Welcome to worship here at St. Mark's. I'm so glad you could join us on this lovely day. Today we're going to be reflecting on everyone's favorite topic, brokenness. We'll be talking about that in the sermon. But for this time, I invite you to stand as we begin our service, remembering who it is that we belong to. Beginning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, we come together with fellow believers to worship you, to sing your praises, and to sit at your feet and listen. So, Lord, I pray that you would cast aside any distraction. Help us just to hear you, to hear your words, and to hear your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto each and every one of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Creatures of our God and King, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every
morning. My name is Lars. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to read the scriptures today for you. And our first reading is Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day, they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
I knew there were some children here. Good morning. Good morning. If you guys would like to have a seat right down here, that would be fabulous. I am actually going to have a helper with me this morning. Well, I already have him picked out. Before he comes up, I would like to tell you something about my helper. Today is a very special day for him because he's going to be graduating. And he could have said, "You know what? I'm graduating from eighth grade. Let's not have a children's message." Do you think he said that? No. He could have said, "I'm graduating today. Let's have it be all about me." Do you think he said that? You know what he said? He said, "I would love to help with the children's message." I think that shows a lot about what a great kid he is. Do you think so? Yeah. So, Jacob, would you come on up here? I need some help. So, in the second reading that Pastor Josh just did, there were two words that we'd like to talk about with you. Yeah? Talk about those. Those words are Alpha. Can you say Alpha? And Omega. Can you say that? And they mean beginning and end. So we want to check and see if you know what beginning and end means. So I have some questions you need to answer. First one, if you're counting, is number one at the beginning or the end? What do you think? You say it.
Beginning.
Good job. They're one for one.
Is the letter Z at the beginning or the end of the alphabet?
End.
Two for two. Is 3:30 at the beginning or the end of the school day? Good. What do you got?
Is breakfast the meal that you would have at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day?
I got a tricky one. Are you hot and tired and sweaty at the beginning of the race or the end of the race? Mm-hmm.
Is Genesis at the beginning of the Bible or at the end of the Bible?
I think they're pretty good. Let's make it a little bit harder. Who was there at the very beginning of time?
God.
Excellent.
And who will be there forever till the very end of time?
God, absolutely. All right, so they got the beginning and the end. Let's talk a little bit about the middle. Because when God in the beginning created the world, it was perfect, but sin messed it up. And it meant that we couldn't be with God forever at the end. We couldn't fix it, but God could. And he sent whom? He sent Jesus to do what? Die on the cross and rise again so that we could be with him forever at the end. So no matter whether you are at the beginning of your life, the Alpha,
or at the end of your life, the Omega,
God will be with you to love you, to help you, and to guide you through anything that happens. Isn't that amazing? Alpha and Omega. All right, let's pray. We can use both. Dear God,
thank you for being there at the beginning.
Thank you that you will be there forever at the end.
Thank you for sending Jesus in the middle.
To die and rise again to forgive our sins.
In his name we pray.
And all God's children said, Amen. Excellent.
All right, so Little Worship is for age 4 through 4th grade. Make certain you have your parents' permission. But then we assure you that we will be returned to you, usually about the offering right after the sermon. But otherwise, the rest of us get to begin. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to ask you to be patient with me today as my family got back about 10:15 at night from a 3-day conference that we had gone to. So if I'm suddenly trailing off or you're wondering about the connection of points, just a little ask for some grace there. But relative to this conference that I went to, a breakout session that the speaker was talking about what a parent might do in the event that they are estranged from their adult child. And I mentioned this in part because if the statistics are right, this is something that impacts very many of you. And as I said at the beginning of the service, our sermon today is going to be highlighting on the topic of brokenness. Now, there's a lot of different brokenness that people experience, and I cannot cover all of them in this message. I'm going to focus mostly on what I will call relational brokenness, that is brokenness between two or more individuals. And sometimes this brokenness is relatively small as far as how it would impact an individual. You think about some classmates at school. And you might have one classmate who gets this idea that they're going to tease one of their peers. Now, we all know teasing. Some teasing can actually have the results, if it's intended, of actually bonding people together, but all too often teasing might actually be more for the purpose of estranging people, separating them, putting someone else down. And when that teasing occurs, all too often you have a bit of a brokenness that is experienced, a hurt that is felt. And this can happen in the workplace as well, whether you have two coworkers who are both vying for attention and perhaps putting someone else down to raise themselves up or insisting and covering over what someone else is doing to try to get one over on others. And when those things occur, of course, there is brokenness. There is hurt. Or it could even happen if you have perhaps a boss who has in mind what they want to see happen. They have a subordinate who they go to the board and say, okay, I demand this and this and this and this of you, and I don't really care what's going on in your life. You got to get it done. Then there's hurts and there's brokenness. Or as well, I'm sure all of us have experienced brokenness in much more meaningful, more longer-lasting relationships. You have siblings who might fight over a toy, and it goes from, I want it, it's my turn, no, that's my toy, to suddenly perhaps lashing out in anger or hitting or slapping or something that escalates it up even more, and you experience hurt and brokenness in the family. Or you have dynamics between a parent and a child. And maybe you have it where a child willfully, time and time again, thinks they know exactly what they want to do and they don't care what the parent has to say. Or perhaps you have a parent who's so confident in what they think is the right way that they don't care the perspective of their child who they're trying to raise up. I could give you a million more hypothetical examples, and I'm sure all of you have experienced your own pain and hurt and brokenness. And the reality is that every time this happens, you taste a little bit of death. Because a broken relationship is death. It might not be death in the sense of that it is final, but it is death in that it is the opposite of life. It is the opposite of how God designed things to be. And sometimes it is a slow, painful death, and sometimes it's sudden, but it is death nonetheless. You see the first instance of this death all the way back in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis. For you see, just before that, God had created so many wonderful and good things, and he created male and female. And he said to them, the two of you will become one flesh and be united. And it says in Genesis 2 that the two were both naked and without shame. A reflection of the beauty of the intimacy with which God had created the two. And yet, just after that, we get where those who had been made in the image of God failed to listen to the one thing that God said, you shall not do this. And right after that, after they ate of the fruits of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as they were instructed not to do, God is walking in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? Oh, I was hiding because I was, I can't say that. I was naked and I didn't want you to see me. Well, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit that you're not supposed to? And what happens? Immediately, Adam cares more about his self-preservation and his self-interests than his relationship with his creator and his relationship with his wife. Well, he says, the woman that you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate. I was a bystander, really. Suddenly there was a fruit in my mouth. And you see the marring and the breaking that's taking place between two who had been joined together as one, now fractured and separated. And it continues on through the histories. And we feel this brokenness and we carry it through our lives as we recognize the death that it is. And just like any death, this experience is one that is grieved. Because when someone close to you hurts you, you aren't just left with then, well, that's done now, but you still have the lingering memories of good times. And you're left with the question of what now? Now do we work to restore that which was lost? Can it ever be restored? Do we have just something new and different? And can that new and something different even be good and worth having? And you find yourself having more questions, perhaps, than answers. And it's hard. And it's broken. I wanted to tell you a tale of brokenness today because I want to also tell you a tale of beautiful restoration. Something that we cannot achieve by ourselves, but that our God has promised. For we know how it will all end. For John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." I want to set this aside for a second before I paint the fullness of the picture of the next verse for you. Because as you read through the Bible, you see from the beginning how it is that God had established man to be made in his image, and he said, "Let them, male and female, have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creeping thing that creeps along the ground." God designed it to be that he would partner with those whom he created in his image, though he did not need to, and he established them in this place. And yet, the fullness of what God had designed was never fully realized. And that's part of just the terrible shame as you read through early on in Genesis of what had happened. Not only that, but you see the progression of people as Cain murders his brother Abel, and then he goes to the east and he builds up a city. And especially early on in the Bible, I would encourage you to read for yourself, how does the Bible describe cities? What you have is you have a small area of space with lots of dense population of people. So what happens? Fighting. You have limited resources with lots of people, and everyone says, "I want my peace and I want it my way." And whoever is strongest takes their share. And that is often the depiction of a city early on. And it's a picture all too often of mankind living in sin, not caring at all about who it is that created them, not caring at all about what they have, and saying, "This I shall be satisfied with my daily bread, but instead I will ever yearn for more. And I will take what I want." Fast forward several years to God calls Abraham and says, "I will make you a great nation, and through you I will bless all the families of the earth." Fast forward to then there on Mount Sinai, where God says to the Israelites, "You shall be a nation of priests. You shall intercede to me on behalf of the nations who do not know me. And once again, through you, my chosen people, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Fast forward to now, you have a king and a city, Jerusalem, and what should that city be? That city should be a city set on a hill, a beacon of light to all the nations who do not know the one who has created all things, the one who sustains all things. But what has Jerusalem become? Well, you have the first king, Saul, who was selected, and he immediately didn't want the job, but he begrudgingly takes the job, and then once he has the job, he absolutely does not want to lose the job and fights to kill David, who he feels threatened by just because many people follow David. David, who succeeds him and seems to be a king after God's own heart, and yet does what the other kings do, for he sees a woman and says, "I want her, and I will have her," and he takes her, and he gets her pregnant. He finds out she's married, and so what does he do? He has her husband killed. Just like any other earthly king might have done. Okay, well, what about his son, Solomon? And the empire grew greatly under Solomon, and yet Solomon felt like it was best to enact treaties in the way that was common of the day by marrying a bunch of wives. And having so many wives, he also took for himself their gods. And though the empire under Solomon became the greatest that they had, none of it was built upon a trust in God as it should have been. So one generation later, his son Rehoboam, Solomon's old advisor said, look, the empire was great under your father, but he taxed the people something fierce. Please relax the taxes, and these people will respect and fear and trust you. And Rehoboam said, I'm listening to these other advisors who say, be even greater. Do not be satisfied with where things stand. And he taxed the people even more. And the kingdom split in two. And on then throughout the prophets, you see how God's holy city, Jerusalem, became a place not as a beacon of light and hope for the people around who are struggling, that they might know God instead. It looked like just every other city. It looked like Babylon. It looked like Nineveh. It looked like Egypt. It looked like all of them. A place where the people who had power and authority used that not for the benefit of others, but rather as a place to do what they thought was good in their own eyes. Once again, that which God had established that would have been good, man took and said, no, I want this my way, and it was never realized. So in light of that concept, I want to read for you this picture of what is to come when it says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. As I said 2 weeks ago when I preached on Revelation, Revelation uses a lot of imagery to communicate God's truth. If you missed that sermon, I encourage you, not at this moment, but when you go home today, go listen to that sermon because it talks a little about how God communicates in the book of Revelation. But this image, do you see it? Do you see how Jerusalem was that which could have been but never was? How is God once again partnering with people was the design, and yet it all crumbled. And here the promise at the end is, I see the new Jerusalem, the restoration of all people gathered together to be exactly as God had designed them to be in a relationship with him for the benefit of all creation. Do you see it? And it continues on when it says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Sorry, I always picture it as his finger. That's why I said the tissue of God is his finger, in case you were curious. But anyway, God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Or I like how it is in our first reading for today from Isaiah 25. My notes are good. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples. I'm pausing there for a moment because I want us to recognize again the beauty of what God had intended from the beginning. For though he picked one people group and said, I choose you for this purpose, it was never for the purpose of favoritism to the exclusion of others, but rather it was for the purpose of saying, through you, everyone will be blessed. He says, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food. A feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow and aged wine well refined. So I gotta be honest, my favorite food, well, let me say it this way. The food that I most long to eat when I can smell it is barbecue. Because you can smell it and immediately, I don't care, I could be in the middle of eating something else. I go, oh, I want that. Ugh. Smells unhealthy, but I want it. And that's what I picture when I hear about this food, rich food full of marrow. The type of food that every bite you go, thank you, God, for this food. And yet, what is it then, if this is the feast that God has promised to prepare for his people who follow him, what is it that he will eat at this feast? It says he will swallow up on this mountain, covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. So I come today telling you a tale of brokenness, because it's so common to our human experience. But I also come before you telling you a tale of unexpected restoration. Because the God who created all things, who loves all things, who sustains all things, says, I am not content with how things are. And I need to do something about it. And so the brokenness that you experience, and the broken relationships, and the hurts, the death that you experience, even that death, God says, I will swallow up forever. Because God is mightier than death. And to those who right now are experiencing a brokenness in relationships where you recognize this is a relationship by design that should be going the distance in life. Not just a passing friend, but something by God's design that would carry on, but you're experiencing brokenness. I want to offer you a word of hope, because that's what we have, is a hope. Because we know how it ends. We know that in the end, God will restore all things. And death will be no more, and he will wipe every tear from their eye, and the former things will all pass away. And because we have hope about the future, we can have hope now. When Jesus came, what did he do? Among other things, he restored sight to the blind. He gave those who were deaf hearing. He gave those who were mute speech. He gave those who were lame the ability to walk. He gave to those who were broken a taste of what the future reality will be. And I say this to suggest that you can have hope now, that right now, though you are experiencing brokenness, you can have a hope of restoration. And even if that restoration doesn't come until the end, you can still have hope in that, absolutely, and still even have hope now. Because your hope is not in you. Your hope is not in that if you just work harder, you can make it work. Your hope is not in the other person, that if they just change, you can make it work. But your hope is in God, who can do all things. And because your hope is in God, you can hope, maybe, just maybe, you will see the day when that brokenness is restored. And if not in this lifetime, in the age to come, you will see it. Because that's who God is. Amen.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin. Lost without hope, with no place to begin. Love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was the rest in Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoices though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with a freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested in
Please stand as we confess our shared faith using the explanation to the second article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite our principal, Megan Dynas, forward, as well as our graduates, Jacob Lockwood, forward.
Good morning, everybody. We thought today would be a great day to celebrate Jacob, and he is actually going to graduate as part of our service today. So, Jacob, today we celebrate not just your graduation, but the faithful journey you've walked during this time at St. Mark's. We've watched you grow, not only in your knowledge, but in your walk with Christ, your joy daily, your willingness to lead, and your heart for others reflect the light of Jesus. As you step into this next chapter, remember that God goes before you, he walks beside you, and he lives within you. Hold tightly to his promises and trust that he has and he does have great plans for you. We are so proud of you and wish God's richest blessings to you on this road ahead.
Jacob was asked for a favorite Bible verse, and I'll read it for you. I won't make you read it. It's pretty short, though, but it's good. Good one. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God.
And at this time, I'd like to invite Angela Montgrain, Jacob's eighth grade teacher, forward, and also Jeff Montgrain, who is the vice president of our board of directors, to present Jacob with his diploma. Jacob Lockwood, having successfully completed the required course of study in accordance with the academic standards of St. Mark's Lutheran School and with the full support of the faculty and administration, we are pleased to present you with this diploma in recognition of your achievement. May God continue to guide and bless you as you move forward in your faith and your learning.
All right. At this time, I'd like to invite Jacob's family forward, and we're going to say a prayer of blessing over Jacob. Oh, and Debbie Armbruster. Brewster. Wow, sorry. Debbie Armbruster and Lauren Bates, our DCE, as well, all forward. So, Jacob, I'm going to have you stand, actually. Yeah, right. Come right to the front there. And then have everyone come forward. And I'm just going to put a very gentle hand. Come on up. Yes, come on up. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for all that you've done in Jacob's life. I thank you for how you have guided him. You've helped him to grow and helped him to learn. Lord, I pray you continue in that endeavor. Help him to always follow you. Help him to go where you lead him, and that your light of love might shine through him to those around him. Give him guidance and wisdom as he interacts with peers and as he goes on in life through high school and beyond. All these things I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I invite you to go ahead and go back to your seats. But let's, yeah, give one final applause to Jacob for all of his hard work. And I invite you to stand as we continue with the prayers of the day. Heavenly Father, again, I thank you so much for Jacob. I thank you for all that you continue to do in his life. Lord, I thank you for St. Mark's School that has given him his education and helped him to grow not just in knowledge, but also in character. Lord, I pray that you be with all of us as we go through this life experiencing brokenness. Pray that you would give us wisdom in our interactions with other people. Help us to forgive others as they have hurt us. And help us to ultimately put our trust in you to provide for our needs. Lord, we come before you today with some of the people in our midst who are hurting. Especially we remember Julie Mikowski. She has a cancer diagnosis and an upcoming surgery. We pray that you remove any fears and anxieties that she is experiencing. We pray that you would heal her fully, that you would give her strength both physically and mentally, and that you would be with Ed as he gives her care and support. Lord, we pray that you would be with Alana Williamson. Pray that there would get some clarity of what's going on in the upcoming tests. Pray that you would be with her as well, physically and mentally, and be with Will as he gives her support. Lord, I pray that you'd be with all those who are mourning the loss, grieving of Donald Jackson, especially his wife Shirley and all the family. We pray that in this time of mourning, that you would give them comfort, that you would surround them with people who can give them encouragement and a hope. Lord, we pray as well this day for Donald, our president, for Michael, our governor, and for Sean, our mayor. We pray that you would lead them and that they would serve in their role as elected officials well. They would be mindful of the people who are under their care, and that they would lead in a way that's for the benefit of all. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Are set
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. Please stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
Thank you.
right. Well, we have, in honor of Jacob's graduation, a cake celebration. With that in mind, then I invite everyone, if you would like some cake, you can take some from the table over there. But if you're going to Sunday school, children, I'm about to dismiss you. There will be cake at Sunday school. So you do not have to grab cake from the table. Just go and meet with our DC Lauren Bates and go on to Sunday school. There will be cake there. Now, if you're for 5th through 8th grade, go ahead and grab cake and hang out, talk with Jacob some or whatever before going over to your class with your teacher. The rest of you go, just go get cake. I also want to note that we are busy preparing for VBS. You might have noted this awesome structure that is here to my right as we're getting ready for our VBS with Alaska. I'm seeing a nod from Lauren. That's good. I can't read her lips. That's too far away. But anyway, yes, thumbs up. Alaska. Yeah. But no, it's awesome. And so I just want to give thanks, shout out to Brent Griffith, who constructed this. So thank you, Brent, for just amazingness. As well, we'll continue to be transforming our sanctuary space to the wonderfulness that will be for VBS, so you'll be seeing that as well. Bear with us as we're doing that. And then lastly, I want to note that for our Bible class time, we are going to be hearing from Zach Schneer. So he works for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and will speak on a ministry coordinated by the LCMS, Project 24, and Christ Care for Children. Christ Care for Children is a child sponsorship program that matches individuals, families, or groups in the United States with children who are living in one of the Project 24 buildings and facilities in Africa. These facilities are managed by the LCMS and one of our partner churches, like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya. The children live at one of the Project 24 facilities while receiving the opportunity to attend school and church during the academic year. I'd like to, at this time, invite Zach Schneer forward. Sorry, one second. Can I dismiss those kids to Sunday school? I said I was going to do it and didn't. But yes, Zach, you can start coming forward now. So if you are going to Sunday school, you're a grade school, go on to meet with our DC Lauren Bates as Zach is coming forward. And Zach's going to say a little bit more about his presentation and what you get to hear as you come.
Hey, good morning. Grace, mercy, and peace to you, and greetings from the International Center. There are two other people here. Now, Andrew, I believe, is a member here. So I work with him, and then Hannah, she works with Project 24 kind of on a part-time basis. But anyway, so come and listen to the presentation and understand more about what your church and what your synod is doing to support God's people who have next to nothing, and providing them information and food and the Lord Jesus Christ to them so they become knowledgeable of the Savior and his work in the world. So look forward to seeing you.
All right. Thank you, Zach. We're excited to hear from you soon. I failed to mention, please congratulate Jacob if you get a chance. But otherwise, God's blessings to you. Go and have a blessed rest of your day. Amen. Go in his peace.